Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, come and make your presence known, reveal the glory of the living God. Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, would you come and make your presence known, reveal the glory of the living God? It's a prayer this morning. Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, would you come and make your presence known, reveal the glory of the living God? Let the weight of your glory cover us. Let the light of your river flow. Let the truth of your kingdom flood. Let the weight of your glory, let the weight of your glory fall. Let the weight of your glory cover us. Let the light from your river flow. Let the truth of your kingdom, let it rain in us. Let the weight of your glory, let the weight of your glory fall. Let the weight of your glory. Are you praying this morning? Are there desperate worshipers in the night, in this place tonight? Of your kingdom, let it rain. Let the weight of your glory fall. Let the weight of your glory. Let the weight of your glory. Hallelujah. 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 There is a place that my heart loves, Lord.
there is a place that I'm yearning. Are there desperate worshipers in this place tonight? By this deep longing, Lord, take me, Lord, to your secret door. Take me by your hand. Do we have desperate worshipers tonight? Mala brado shanta brado. Labrador, Shante, Brados, Dante, Bracata, Yanda, Lagabosta, Lebosi, Paca, Capalados, Dante, Capaya, Lante, Cosu, Pahanda, Capanda, Zem, Bretosi, Capalahanda, the end of Legadosha, Malabro, Shante, Brandos, the Capalahanda. Alado Shanta Brandos. Alado Brandos. There is a place that I'm desperate. I'm desperate for your presence, O God. For as the deer pants after the water brooks, so does my soul long after you. Mala brando sita pala hada si enda lada. Take me, Lord. I don't have what it takes to find it myself. Mala brado shanto brahmas. Viva dos and the brahmas and the legados. Are you desperate this morning? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. Jesus spoke with a loud voice, saying, if any man is thirsty, let him drink. Giving you a chance this morning to express yourself to the lover of your soul. Father, brother, Shanta, Brahanda, Zilu, Libra, Shanta, Brahanda, Zilu, Libra, where is darkness or the sight of light? You're the light that makes my life shine bright. And as I look the face, I become the light. Evaporated at the gleams of light. You're the light that makes my face shine bright. I become the light. Imole Deo Barada. Imole Deo Barada. Imole Deo Oku Barada. Imole Deo. Imole Deo. Hallelujah. Before you take your seat, I will share a few things for a moment. I would like us to declare a prophecy together. I'm just going as the Lord laid in my heart. Isaiah chapter 60. We'll declare this and then we'll pray in the Spirit for a moment and we'll share. Please pick your Bible in your hand. Let's do business with the Spirit of the Lord this morning. How can you walk when you don't know the way of the world? How can you run when you don't know the way of the Spirit? How can you fly when you don't know the way of the wind? The power at work in you, changing everything. In obedience to words, changing. Will you swallow your pride tonight? Come to the school of the Spirit. Don't you know in His hands is the key to eternal life? A little here, a little there, until the day will come. He's at work in you, changing. In obedience. For He's the Holy Ghost, Spirit of the Living. He's the Holy Ghost, Scepter of the King of Kings. He's the Holy Ghost, Seal of the Age. Generations, thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, and shalt suck the breast of kings, and thou shalt know that I, the Lord, I am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the mighty one of Jacob. For brass I will bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver, and for wood brass, and for stones iron. I will also make my officers peace, and thine exactors righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thine borders. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation, and thy gates praise. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. This is the time of the Lord. Lift your voice and prophesy this. Lift your voice and enforce what you have declared. I don't know if this is talking about you, but I can see myself in prophecy. I can hear the voice of the Lord for Meshach Alpha. I can hear the voice of the Lord for the church in Nigeria. I can hear the voice of the Lord for the church in Bauchi State. I can hear the voice of the Lord for the church in Abubakar Safawa Balewa University. Come on, lift your voice and declare the counsel of the Lord. Mala Brando Zikapo Shante Kapal. Braku Santa Bande Kosa. Lem Brekete Zutapo Shanta Kapaya. Mala Brando Zikapaladoska. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shone in our hearts that he might reveal in us the glory of the Lord. Mala Branka To Sante Kapala Handasia. Lem Brando Zikatosha Bande Kete. I know it's a worship meeting, but it's also a time of prayer. Limba call Zantekete Bratosa. Shaka Balaka Bakata Yoda Lagada. Lambredo Zunabala Hanazia. Shikapala Hanazia. Changing everything in obedience to Christ. Changing everything in obedience to Christ. Changing everything in obedience to Christ. Jesus, we believe and we receive your word. It doesn't matter the things that have happened around us. We choose to believe the report of the Lord. A little one will become a thousand, and a small one will become a strong nation. Have you not read that the least amongst us will be as mighty as David? Have you not read? A little one will become a thousand. The small one become a strong nation. I'm not preaching yet. This is the prophetic word that the Lord said I should bring. A little one become a thousand. A strong one, a small one become a strong nation. He said, arise from the depression and the prostration in which life and circumstances have kept you. When you read verse 1 in the Amplified, say, arise from the depression, from the prostration in which life and circumstances have kept you. Nobody assumes a bent posture by choice. Situations always confront us and come to them. But he's asking me to tell you tonight, arise. I know that situations kept you there. But now an instruction has come. It is not an advice, it is a word that comes with power. Arise. Arise. He saw that man by the pool of Bethesda. And the Bible says Jesus learned that that man has been in that situation for a long time. And he said, would you want to be made whole? And he began to give the history of his predicament. God is not interested in your history tonight. Your history is irrelevant. It is only man that needs to understand history, to know the pathway to navigate, not God. Before your history, he existed. The man was saying, every time I want to dive into the water, someone else enters before me. There are other people who have men that position them in such a way that they take advantage of the time. But for me, I am here for 38 years, not by choice, but because there is no man to help me. I've gone through school. I graduated as the best student in my class. The people that were poor in my class are well placed. But for me, it's not that I don't want to get something doing with my hand, but I have no man. And Jesus is saying, my question is not your history. My question is whether or not you are willing to be made whole. Because by man, 1 + 1 must be 2. But by God, 1 + 1 is anything God says. Because that one is you and the other one is God. And the other side that is God is unlimited in his capacity. If he wants 1 + 1 to be 1,000,000, he can make it be. So when you begin to use your mathematical knowledge to tell God, I was taught in economics that this has to be this before this will happen, God will say, keep quiet. Do you want to be made whole? The answer God wants tonight is not the history of the situation you are in. The answer God wants tonight is not who is responsible or who is not responsible. All that he wants to get from you is a yes or no. Do you want to be made whole? Every time the angel comes to stir the water, I was lectured theologically that anyone that enters the pool first will be healed. I understand the theological pathway to healing, but my challenge is that I am limited by my predicament such that I cannot apply those principles. I am broke because I've not been faithful with tithing. Yes, I know tithing is important, but do you want to be made whole? Forget about your limitations. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords standing before you. The one who sends the angel to stir the water. The one who created the pool in the first place. Everything you have talked about were systems of adumbration that he created to point to the one that is to come. A type and a shadow of the one who can solve your problem. I know that you are conversant with the stirring of the water, but the stirrer of the water stands before you. Do you want to be made whole? God is asking you that question this morning. Do you want to be made whole? He asked me that question a long time ago. I said yes. And I'm still saying yes. And the evidence is clear in my life. Do you want to be made whole? Because all that is needed is not all you have known. Yes, the method has worked over time. But he has changed the method. And the one he wants to use is not entering the water first. It is rise up, take your bed, and walk. I have not learned how to walk. Don't bother. Just do what you are told. Rise up and walk is not English, it's power. Rise up and walk is not trying to understand that there is arthritis in the leg. Rise up and walk means, in fact, arthritis is too small for him to address. So when he says, rise up and walk, everything that will counter that will give way. It's not the time to explain. Peter, cast your net there. He said, Lord, have you noticed that every time men faced God, out of their frustration, when God brings a word that can change their life, they begin to give history. Have you noticed that? Peter, cast your net there. You have given me your boat to bring men into the kingdom. Now I want to reward you. Cast your net there. He said, Lord, we have been toiling all night and we caught no fish. He didn't ask you for history. He instructed you. We have been toiling all night. We didn't catch anything. Suddenly he said, nevertheless, at thy word. And the Bible says they cast their net and they brought a great catch such that their boat couldn't contain it. They had to beckon on their partners to come and help them. My brothers and my sisters, the fish was not in the water. The fish was in the word. It's the same place they were trying to catch fish. It's the same place he asked them to. The moment Jesus says, cast your net there, all the fishes will leave where they are and come there. Because his word cannot return void. So even when the word does not make sense, be foolish enough to follow the direction of the word. I am only frustrated when I cannot perceive the instruction of God. No matter how terrible things may be, if I can hear thus saith the Lord, what's that hymn that says, just to hear thus saith the Lord, right? There's a hymn that has that line. Thank you. Please help me. Thank you. Jesus, how I joy. Jesus, precious Jesus. You have given explanations for a long time. Would you stop explaining to God as if he doesn't know? He said, my son, my daughter, your prayers have risen to me as a memorial. I have come to give you answer. And then you say, God, please take this chair. Sit down first. You don't know the family I came from. You don't know the family I came from. He said, my clan is the smallest. And then my family is the smallest in the clan. Then me that you are seeing like this, I am the smallest in the family. And then you are now saying that it is me you will use. God is not. Stop giving God history. The Lord has asked me to announce to you, arise, shine. Arise, shine. How will it happen? Don't bother. You just do what you are told. Arise and begin to shine. Lord, everything around me has been darkness. Arise, shine. I've done everything I can. They are always working against me. Arise, shine. Can you help me preach to someone tonight? No, not preach. Help me prophesy to someone tonight. Because those words you are speaking, they carry power and they carry life. They will create what they have been told to do. Arise, Arise, shine. Lord, my past is terrible. Arise, shine. I remember receiving your instructions and I disobeyed. Arise, shine. Arise, shine. Jesus will receive your word. In Jesus' name. Please take your seat for a moment. Let's share a few things. One thing about the word of the Lord is that the word of the Lord comes first by telling you what the Lord is interested in doing. Then it will now show you how it will happen. You know, the anchor scripture for my life is taken from the book of Luke, the encounter of Mary with Gabriel. Hail, you that are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Right? And then Mary was wondering what manner of salutation this is. And the angel said, fear not, Mary, you have found favor with God. You shall conceive and you will bring forth. And what you will conceive will be called the Son of God, the Son of the Highest, shall sit upon the throne of his father David to order and to establish it forever. Is that correct? And Mary said, how shall these things be, seeing that I know no man? And the angel said, how do I explain this mystery to a 14-year-old girl? The only explanation I can give is that there is a possibility for the Holy Ghost to come upon a man, and by that activity, the power of the Highest will be activated upon that man. And the moment that activation happens, it vetoes every other law and insists that God is birthed upon that man. The Holy Spirit is the agency of creation. The Holy Spirit is the one who made all things. The Holy Spirit is the breath of God that made all things. Alright? So, when the Holy Spirit shows up, he ensures that that atmosphere looks exactly like where God dwells. Are you with me this morning? You remember in the book of Exodus, Moses was keeping his father-in-law's sheep. I'm trying to introduce something here. And the Bible says that he saw a sight that was strange. Is that correct? And then he said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. And when he turned aside, a voice spoke from that burning bush and said, do not come any further. Take off your shoes, for where you stand is what? Is a holy ground. The question is, it's not the first time that Moses was passing there. It is the place that he has been grazing. Alright? So, that ground is a familiar terrain. But at this moment in time, God said that place has become holy. Not because somebody swept it. Not because they poured holy oil on it. But the presence of the Holy One makes the place holy. Because every time the Holy Ghost comes upon a man, he ensures that that atmosphere becomes exactly like him. So my desperation is not just to know principles as it were. Principles are important because they help to give flesh to the things that the Holy Spirit has brought. But my desperation is that the power of the Highest will overshadow me. Because when that happens, no man can stand against you effectively. They do that at their own risk. One of the things I know, like I know my name, is that I'm not alone. when you give me a task to carry out, I am not afraid of that task because we are two doing it. You are only limited because you can see only me, but there is a greater side in the partnership that you cannot see. When I travel on the road, all right, I was telling them there was a challenge with my car yesterday, and then suddenly they brought a second car from the house. That car is night. What if this thing develops again and all of that? And I told them I'm traveling with this one. This is the one that my spirit says I should travel with. You know why? It cannot stop on the road. Because we are two. I am limited as the human part of the partnership. But there is a part of that partnership that is unlimited in its ability. Do you understand what I said? It said the Holy Ghost will come upon you. The power of the highest will overshadow you. Suddenly, a holy thing will be conceived in your womb. And that holy thing that came out of this meaningless conversation we are having will be called the Son of God. And as they were talking, Mary said, "If that is the case, behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to your word." And immediately she became pregnant. Immediately she accepted what God has said, not knowing the mechanisms that can make it happen. She became pregnant. And in her confusion, she went to meet Elizabeth. I will spare that side of the story, maybe for later if the Lord allows us. But what I'm trying to show you is the method you have known is not the only method that exists. In fact, the method you have known, even if God is the originator of that method, when it comes to you, He may decide to change that method just because He wants to get the glory. One of the greatest frustrations of my life is that I cannot build a memorial around a method God has used to do a thing in my life. Many times He frustrates and ensures that He kills that method so that I can come to Him again for the fresh method. Because man only lives by the word that proceeds, not by the word God spoke, but by the word He is speaking. The fact that He is the one that spoke the word does not mean that it's still valid. There's nothing wrong with the word, but with respect to this time, there is a now word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just came to interact with us, then we'll just pray and we're out of here. A story began in the book of Genesis chapter 1. All right? And verse 1, very popular scripture. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Is that correct? And the earth was without form and void. I will not bore you with a theological debate as to what happened and made it void. That's meaningless for me tonight. The most important thing is that God created the heavens and the earth. But at this particular time, it was formless. It was empty and it was dark. Say after me, formless, empty, dark. There is no problem confronting man that is not one of these three. And in most cases, it's a combination of the three. You don't know the direction your life is going. And you cannot lay your hand on anything tangible. Say, at my age, this and this should have happened, but I am not seeing it happen. At my age, this should have happened. And many times, when you begin to brood on this thing, Satan begins to give you reasons why that thing is true. He said, "Truly, do you know you are 35? That your classmate is a mother of four now at 35. And you are still here." And it's not a lie, because you cannot deny that there is formlessness. You cannot deny that there is emptiness, you cannot deny that there is darkness. The good news I'm bringing to you tonight is that you are not the first to be faced with that situation. Even God was faced with it. It was not a man that created the earth. It was God. I believe that the earth that God created, nobody should be able to tamper with it. God created the earth. He did it by himself. Yet, an entity came and did something to that earth. And the earth God created, God couldn't stop it from becoming formless. God himself said it was formless. It was void. It was empty. And it was dark. I think it's a message of hope for someone. The Bible says, think it not strange when you fall into diverse temptations. For there is no temptation that has befallen you that is not common to men. Say common. Common. It is common. No matter how big it is still common. There is nothing that has confronted you that is not common to men. And the part I enjoy is the Bible says God will not use another raw material. The Bible says he will with the temptation. So the problem becomes his raw material. The limitation becomes his raw material. The reproach, what you have been mocked about, the major object of mockery. The Bible says it is the raw material with which God will make a way of escape for you. It's common. It's common. Jesus was so troubled that the Bible calls him a man acquainted with grief. You know what it means to be acquainted with grief? He's used to it. So he's not surprised when it comes. It's his life. So God was confronted with this problem. I am a lecturer by the grace of God. And I've been a researcher myself. I've done first degree, master's, and PhD. And I think I understand the pathway of research a little, isn't it? There is something called research statement of the problem. Is that correct, ATBU? There's something called statement of the problem. Statement of the problem is you are telling us what the problem is that you want to solve, isn't it? And after stating the problem, what's the next thing to do? You tell us how you want to solve it by giving us your objectives, isn't it? So I expect that if God tells us a problem, and you know in research we are told that you will list the objective many times in the order that you're going to solve them. I'm going to do A, then A will enable me to do B, B will enable me to do C. So that means if God stated the problems in a particular order, he should solve that problem in that order. Is that correct? So what was the first problem that God mentioned? It was formless. So I expect that God should give it form. Then after giving it form, he should solve the problem of emptiness by adding things to it. And then after he's done with that, he now solves the last problem, isn't it? And the last problem is that of darkness. But God violated research principles and started from the last. The earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of the Lord hovered over the face of the waters. And God said, receive shape. Be filled. No. The first thing God said is, let there be light. And there was light. You know why? Because there will be no shapelessness and emptiness if darkness has not come. Darkness is the first agency that comes. And the moment darkness can create an abode in a life, in a business, in a ministry, it is only a function of time. Emptiness and formlessness will follow. So when you are trying to solve the problem in your life and you are making every effort to give it shape, you are making every effort to fill it in, when you have not solved the problem of darkness, you are only wasting your time. Because no matter the effort you make in filling your life with things, darkness will still make it empty. Are you with me tonight? There are people that have not solved the problem of darkness, but they want to be rich. Poverty is not the absence of money. Because it's important. You cannot have money and be rich. You will only be rich when money comes, if you are rich before the money came. Before money enters your hand, please be wealthy. Because when money comes into the hands of a poor man, the money will leave the man poorer than it came. Did you hear what I said? When power comes upon a man that is deficit in respect to the light that can handle power, that power will destroy that man. When marriage comes to a man, a woman, who is still living in darkness with respect to this, at the end of that marriage, that person would have preferred to die single. So when you pray to God and you cry to Him about these three things, my life is without direction, my life is shapeless, my life is empty, and my life is dark. I don't even know where I'm going to. Lord, will you give shape to my life? He said, yes, I will give shape. How about filling my life with precious and pleasant riches? He said, I will also do it. He said, God, when will you do it? He said, I will start by giving you light. He said, they that dwell in darkness have seen a great light. Upon them that dwell in the vision of the shadow of death, he said, upon them has a great light shone. Isaiah 60, where we prophesy, said, arise, shine. Not because you are tired. Not because you feel it. No, he said, because your light has come. No matter how tired you are, until light comes, you cannot arise. So God began by solving the problem by introducing light. He didn't introduce the light from somewhere else. He introduced the light from Himself. Listen to me. There is a light that will come. No matter how buffeted your family is, you will just come home. You have not prayed, and everything will begin to take shape. I don't know how many of us have fathers that are very tough. You know, everybody is playing until you hear daddy's horn. Then everybody, I have a friend, the moment they hear their father's horn, everybody will carry book. Whether they are reading or not, they just assume a posture of studying. Because daddy must not meet you playing. And then they are serious reading. And God help you that daddy asks you a question from what you are reading and you don't have answer for it. Daddy has not said anything, but there is something you know about dad that makes you adjust yourself. Because you know that when you are stubborn and you refuse to adjust yourself, you know the consequences, isn't it? So darkness already knows the consequence of light. So when a man with light comes, darkness will not wait to be told to go. God expects us to come to a point where our prayer will be reduced to intimacy and worship. Not, my family has not eaten for days. It's not supposed to be a prayer point. Because the ideal life was the life of Adam before he fell. And there was nowhere that he was given an assignment to ask for what to eat. Before he came, his food was made ready. He was given a job not to eat from it, but to add value to the system he made. So I'm not working as a university lecturer because my food comes from there. I was counseling someone some days ago about the matter of finance, and I told the person that when my December salary was paid, after distributing to the places they needed to go, what was left for me from the salary to live for January, right? Before they pay. You've seen those memes that January has 70-something days. Guess how much was left for me? 1,000 naira. And I bought a recharge card with the 1,000. So that means what I spent from my salary was 1,000. You know why? Because that's not where I live. I feed from the pocket of God. I spend grace. I spend grace. It didn't used to be like this. It's light. I spend grace. I spend grace. That is why the news about Nigeria does not bother me. Even if Satan becomes the president of Nigeria, I'll still do well. And he will still be used by God. I spend grace. There's a kidnapping anywhere, everywhere. I sympathize with those who have been victims of it. But I've also seen from light that day and night have never met. And the Bible told me, Meshach Alpha, I say, you are not of the night. So if I am not of the night, and the wicked people are of the night, where are we going to meet that they will kidnap me? Is it not where you meet that they will carry you? We are never going to meet. As night is coming, as day is going, night comes. When day comes, night leaves. Where will they meet? Your current possibility is a reflection of the light that has come to you. It doesn't mean anything is wrong with you. It doesn't mean God is not interested in you. It only means that, you know, let me give you an analogy. I don't know if anybody has a rough idea of how many light points are in this auditorium. At least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 times 4, that's 24. Apart from the stage lights, we have on the average 24, isn't it? For one auditorium. Alright? How many of you have touchlight on your phone? Okay? When you're looking for something in your room, you can use that touchlight. And there is a particular sphere that that touchlight can view. The touchlight cannot be the major light source in the room. It can only illuminate a particular small portion that can enable you search for something and then carry it. But when it comes to the lighting of the room, you use another kind of light that its illuminating power is greater than that of the touchlight, isn't it? Now, if you carry that light that can illuminate your room, in fact, the light that can illuminate your bedroom may not be sufficient to illuminate your living room. Because the living room is bigger than your bedroom. Alright? So that means the smaller the space, the more effective the light, isn't it? And the bigger the space, the greater the light that will be needed. So, the person with the touchlight phone has light. The person with the 60 watts or 15 watt energy light has light. And if you carry that light from the living room and decide to use it here, the people there will be squinting their eyes because they cannot deny that there is light. But that light is not sufficient to dispel the darkness in the space they find themselves. Are you with me? Now, if you carry all the light in this room to a stadium, will it light the stadium? No. The problem is this. You will have an evidence that there is light, but that light will be inefficient in chasing away darkness. So your life has the testimony of light and darkness at the same time. This is the reason why some people have not risen beyond a particular level. Because you still have torchlight and you are asking God to give you the nations. Torchlight cannot light a nation. So he will leave you in a cubicle so that your light can be effective. You have an anointing upon your life, and that anointing can bring illumination to the life of five people. So he will ensure that your fellowship does not increase beyond five. Because if he brings the sixth person, the porosity of your life will become obvious. So God helps you by limiting you. Your first prayer point for greatness is not, Lord, enlarge my coast. Your first prayer point for greatness is, Lord, increase my light. Because see, if your light increases, your space will no longer be able to contain you. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The question is, what is the size of that light that has come? If the light that has come to you in the area of finance, for example, is 10,000 naira worth, all right? Even if somebody dashes you 5 million, it's only a function of time. You will come back to 10,000. Because the moment that 5 million comes, the level of light you carry will interpret it as an error. Suddenly, the antivirus of that light will be triggered. Virus, 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 virus. And then it will initiate an action that will correct that error. Suddenly, you begin to carry out some financial habits that will start wasting money in your life. Suddenly, somebody will call you and say there is MMM. You carry 3 million and put, and the next day they say it has frozen. You are left with 1 million. You go and buy one car that you change engine twice. And by the time the money becomes 10,000, you remember that you have not bought food. You see why I said be rich before money enters your hand. I've been counseling marriages for a while. I don't mean to scare you. If there are married people here, they will tell you that marriage is hard work. In fact, from 2019, Satan became very intentional about destroying Christian homes. Godly marriages. He is going after people that are vocal. I think it was in 2019 or 2020 that a lawyer somewhere in Adamawa State called a friend of mine and said, we just dissolved about 20 years marriage of a particular man of God, and the core of the message of that man of God is marriage. People will say, he's not practicing what he's preaching. No, it's not true. He's practicing what he's preaching. Because your greatest point of attack will be in the area of your message. But when you have been shaken and you are still standing, The testimony is that the light that brought you that far was real. I know you have light, but what is the strength of that light? What's the theme of this meeting? Greater light, isn't it? That means light comes in dimensions. So God said, let there be light. And there was light. He separated the light from the darkness. The light he called day. The darkness he called night. There was evening and there was morning the first day. Is that correct? Is it like that in Genesis? And God called the light day and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning and the first day were the first day. All right? I'm about to show you something very profound. Go to verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. All right? Now, God is beginning to give shape. The moment light came, he started filling things. One after the other. It didn't look like he was making good progress, but he was making progress. And from the time God fixed the earth after introducing light, every attempt to make the earth void and shapeless again has not worked. This is why we are still here. So God created the firmament. That was the second day, right? What did he create on the third day? Bible students, we're going somewhere. Next verse, please. Next verse. And God called the firmament heaven and the evening and the morning. The firmament is talking about the sky, all right? Where the second day. So on the second day, he created the firmament, isn't it? All right. The third day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place. All right? So he created the dry land and he created the seas, isn't it? Yes? Just go on. He saw it was good. Let the earth bring forth grass, right? And then they brought seed-bearing trees and all of that. Go on. Go on. Okay, let there be. Now, if you go to verse 13, he created on the third day where he created the grasses, isn't it? The plants. Now, on the fourth day now, please, can we read verse 14 to 16 together? One, two, go. Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Okay, go on. Let them be light in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so, yes. And God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day. The lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. I have a question. Which light did he make on the first day? And which light is he making on the fourth day? All right? My second question. When he created this light on the fourth day, he said, let this light be the dividing factor of day and night. Is that correct? Let this light, what are the lights? The sun, the moon, and the stars. He said, let them be for the dividing of day and night. Now, but the Bible also tells us that these lights themselves were created on the fourth day. So, we have had day and night on the first day. We had day and night on the second day. We had day and night on the third day. Then on the fourth day, God created certain entities and he said, let them them define day and night. So by what system was the day and night of the one, the two, the three defined? Do you understand my question? So if God is creating the sun, the moon, and is confirmed by geography. Geography tells us that day and night happens on account of the rotation of the earth. Right? About the axis of the sun, isn't it? So now it is night because our side has rotated away from the sun. Alright? There is a country that they experience like 7 hours of daylight. We experience about 12, depending on the variation, isn't it? No, not up to 12. It's not up to 12. From 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., that's about 12 hours, right? There are places that they experience about 15 hours of daylight. And confirming what Scripture said here, he said it's on account of the rotation of the earth, isn't it? So for us, day and night is on a 24-hour cycle. So if you want daylight, by reason of the light of the fourth day, you have to wait for your earth to rotate until your side of the earth faces the sun. So that means that you cannot tell darkness at this level of light to disappear when you want it to disappear. So what God has given you at this level is patience and hope. So if anything is wrong with your life at this stage of light, the light of the fourth day, if you don't like the state of your finances, you don't like the state of your relationship, you don't like the state of your academics, you don't like the state of your career, all that God has given you is patience and hope. Just wait. After some hours, your turn will come. They said this life not turn by turn. It depends on the light that you have. It's not turn by turn anything. Is turn by turn for people that are at the level of the light of the fourth day. But for those at the level, was it God's turn when he said, let there be light? It was not his turn. He decided that now is my turn. So there is a level of light you can operate in that you determine when the day breaks. If you want the day to break by 12 midnight, it will break. It's okay to follow the cycle. They said 24 hours. No problem. 24 hours is not forever. You will only cry and cry, Lord, take this away. You check the clock, it's 1 a.m. Darkness is still there. Lord, you check the clock, it's 2 a.m. You check, and then when it's 5 a.m., hope starts rising. Very soon, my day is about to dawn. And then in a few moments, a few minutes, you see the brightness of the day and you go to church, praise the Lord. 6 hours ago, 8 hours ago, everything was dark around me. I didn't know that the end was going to come. I kept pressing in the spirit. I was pressing. I was praying. I was fasting. And then suddenly, I saw brightness. It's a testimony, but there is a higher level of testimony. Even at the level of the light of the fourth day, their possibilities are not on the same level. He made two great lights. The greater to rule the day, the lesser to rule the night. As a child in Sunday school, I used to be confused about the scripture. I said, God, you should know better. The night needs more light than the day. So it is only logical for the greater to rule the night. And then the lesser can manage the day. Since there is no much work in the day. How foolish I was. How foolish I was. Then God began to show me as I began to grow. He said, son, until the light came, the day and the night were not different. Both of them were equally dark. The difference between the day and the night is the light that confronted them. The sun had a majesty to make the day look like darkness does not exist. The brightness of the day does not mean there is no darkness. But it means that it is so bright that darkness cannot even come. This is why sometimes you get shadows, a testament that darkness is still lurking around. But it's not strong enough because of the strength of the light that is confronting it. Amen. So there are believers that are operating at the level of the sun. And when you see such believers, you will look at them and say they are lucky. No, they are not lucky. You look at their life and you wonder if they ever have trouble. No, it's not luck. They have grown to a level of light that they can sustain that illumination for so long. The moon also has an excellency of light. But the excellency of light of the moon is that the darkness cannot overcome it. But it cannot deny the existence of darkness. So the level of the moon is like thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I cannot deny their presence, but they can also not do anything about my food. Amen. So when you are at the level of the moon, you have light. Your light has dominion over darkness. But you cannot deny that there is darkness. So you will always continually testify of your victory over darkness, not your dominion over darkness. Victory means you are contending with darkness and you are always winning. Dominion means darkness sees you and runs away. Should I give you an example? I was in the car. We were traveling. And then suddenly, I don't know what happened to the driver. And something happened. And our car started somersaulting. We were shouting, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Then the car now stopped. And I came out. And nothing happened to me. Praise the Lord. That is the testimony of the moon. Darkness will always have a testimonial that it came, but it couldn't succeed. Should I give you the testimony of the sun? It will not even happen. It's not that it didn't come. Somebody asked Bishop David Oyedepo some years ago, Daddy, is it that you don't have trouble? He said, maybe it came, I didn't know. Maybe it came, I didn't know. Maybe it came, I didn't know. There are people that it will not happen. It will not what? The person that God delivered from the accident has faith, has light. Because in that accident, people died. Isn't it? People died in that accident, but he came out alive. It took light for him to come out alive. We celebrate that light and we are grateful. But there is a better possibility of light that it will not even happen. Healing is light. Divine health is a greater light. They are all lights. Passing a carryover is light. Not having it at all is another level of light. You didn't hear what I said? I graduated one of the best in my class, not because I was the most intelligent or the most serious. I had a discussion with God one day, and then we were discussing, and both of us agreed that there are two possibilities, two possible outcomes of an exam. It's either you pass or you fail. You won't die. All right? There is no third option. You know, there's a way people are afraid of exam as if it's either you pass, fail, or die. No. It's either you pass or you fail. When God showed me that one, it delivered me from the fear of exam. That means you either pass or fail. You will not die. You will not go to prison. All right? So that's the first deliverance. The second deliverance is I can choose which one I want. You say, Pastor, you don't know what you're talking about. I know exactly what I'm talking about. I was once a student and I'm now a lecturer. I know exactly what I'm talking about. You can choose which one you want. You can choose to pass. You can choose to fail. Both of them have formula. They are predictable. If you are going to pass, I know. If you are going to fail, I know. I've entered an examination hall where I went blank before. The only thing I remembered, the exam was for 1 hour. For 30 minutes, the only thing I remembered was my range number. The only thing I remembered was my range number. If you check my record in ABU, I never had one carryover. Maybe when we get to heaven, I'll ask Jesus how I passed the course. Because like I told you earlier, I'm not alone. We are two. So my side of the partnership was blank. But there is something the other side of the partnership did that I passed. And he has not explained it to me. But the only explanation I've gotten is now that I'm a lecturer. I remember, how many of you are engineering students here? I used to take strength of materials. They are laughing. I used to take strength of materials. And then, I'm for my students, if you ask my students, they will tell you that I'm a no-nonsense person. Very nice, but strict. All right? So I gave them a test, their continuous assessment test. So some students missed the test. And then I decided to give them a form of makeup. I didn't have time to give a makeup. So when they were given, they were to answer 4 questions out of 6. And then I told the invigilators that they should give them an extra sheet after finishing the exam. They should answer the remaining questions as their makeup test. All right? So they were told. Have I not tried? Then there was one particular lady. I'm specific. I didn't say student. Lady. There was one particular lady. She missed the test. And she refused to write the makeup. And then she now came with the class rep to come and meet me. If you are me, what will you do? Get out of my office. She kept following me from morning. So the class rep got tired and left. And then she insisted. I was working late in the department, around 7. Imagine a male lecturer and a female student in the office. Only 2 of them in the entire faculty. Not be troubled with that. So when she insisted, I said, I knew that the only way I can discharge this lady is to listen to her. All right? So I now told her to come to the office. She sat down. Why did you miss the first test? She said her mother was sick and her father, who was taking care of her mother, also broke down. So there was nobody to take care of both of them. So she had to go home. Okay, that is understandable. Why didn't you write the second test? She kept quiet. And then immediately as she was talking, the Holy Spirit opened my eyes and started showing me the problems in their family and told me that I should forget about strength of materials and address the problem. So word of knowledge started coming. I started saying, this. Then she started crying. I said, why are you crying? Is actually the whole. Then the Holy Spirit now told me that the reason why she missed the 2 tests is because I want her to talk to you because of this problem. So I now told her, I said, the primary reason why you came is not even because of the test. God wants me to address this problem. And she started crying even more. And that was when she told me that she wanted to write the makeup and the Holy Spirit told her not to write, that she should leave it and go and meet me. Then I prayed for her, prayed for her family. Do you know that because of that lady, I canceled the test? I'm talking of a class of almost 400 students. What over 300 students suffered to write? Because of one person, I canceled the test and had to create a continuous assessment from somewhere else. Who told you you cannot choose to pass? Do you know how many things that happen in the background? I told you I was once a student and I'm now a lecturer. So I can see some of the things that happen in the realm of the spirit for people to pass. I took my final year student a course last year. And I told myself that all the spillover students, no matter what they write, they will pass. I decided before the exam. That's before the exam, I made up my mind that anybody who is a spillover, will pass the course, no matter what they write. I will find mark somewhere that they will pass. This is me, a discussion between me, myself, and God. Now, for them to be better prepared for the exam, I decided to give them a very difficult test a week to the exam so that they can wake up. Not because I wanted to use the test, but I wanted them to wake up. They wrote the test. Almost all of them, including the very good ones, were crying. Some of them even told me, sir, we wrote this test because my students are my friends. Sir, we wrote this test just for attendance. This, we didn't write anything. So I just laughed. They went ahead to write the exam. One spillover student, because there was a grace of a portal being opened, went and dropped the course. He ended up being the only person that is still carrying it over. Did you understand what I said? He had a chance of passing easily. Now, you know the interesting thing? They just did course allocation in my department and that course has been given to another person who does not tolerate nonsense. So his chances of passing this year is slim. He had the chance, but there was a manipulation in the realm of the spirit that insisted that he must remain. Listen to me. Your first point is to choose whether you want to pass or fail. Forget about all the other dynamics. When you are chosen to pass, then he said, thou will show me the path of life. For in your light shall we see light. When you are chosen life, he by himself will begin to tell you, put your feet here, put your feet here, put your feet here. Have you not read that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong? Have you not read in your Bible like that? So there is, was it Paul that told us that there is the glory of the sun, there is the glory of the moon? He said, and one star differed from another in glory. Which one are you? The good news is that Isaiah prophesied. He said, the light of the moon will be like the light of the sun. So the moon is about to be upgraded from the car from assaulting to the car being untouchable. See, I've seen the hand of God again and again and again. I've seen the ministry of angels. I drive prophetically. You know how prophets drive? Jehu. Alright? Yes. One day, I was coming from a meeting in Kogi State. And then I needed to catch up with another meeting in Zaria. And I was really ahead. And then on top of a bridge, my ball joint pulled out on 160. If you drive, you know what it means for ball joint to pull out. The car stopped by itself in the middle of the road. And people had to carry the car from the road. How did this stop? I'm the only person you can see, but we are not alone. There was another time I was driving again towards Zaria, and then suddenly I saw the activities of angels around my car. And I was wondering, God, why am I seeing angels moving? You know the way military people move by the car of a president? I was driving on speed. They were outside the car, but they were by the car. And then the next thing, my steering started shaking. And I was able to bring the car to a stop. I saw that one of my front tires had busted, had scattered beyond repair. And I didn't even feel it until I saw the activities of those angels. Who told you that it is tires that hold cars? At the level of the moon, it is tires. But at the level of the sun, it is God's angels. Have you not read that the angels of God excel in strength? They excel in strength. He shall give his angels charge over thee, that they may bear thee in their hands, lest you dash your feet against a stone. It is a testimony that you dash your feet and your toenail is preserved. But the angels can prevent it. He said the light of the moon will be like the light of the sun. But the sun will not remain there for the moon to catch it. He said the light of the sun will shine as bright as the light of 7 days. That means the sun will be upgraded to a point that it will not be day and night. You have 7 straight days. Seven is the number of perfection. That means you will have perfect days, stainless. Have you not read, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was with God in the beginning. By Him was all things made. And without Him was nothing made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And that light shines in darkness. And the darkness comprehended not. Listen to me. When you are born again, you have life. But you can have life and still be in darkness. Because life does not shine. It is light that shines. So until your life becomes light, darkness can still have dominion over you. You will go to heaven, but you will go to heaven with a testimony of what darkness has done to you. Say, God forbid. There is no dominion for believers in heaven. There is only one King. He is the Almighty. The only place you are given opportunity to have dominion is on the earth. In Him was life. The life was the light of men. We have people carrying life without light. So the room is still dark. So when a man lights a candle, he puts it on the candlestand that it might give light to the room. If you are in that room and it's still dark, I don't deny that you have life because you're born again. All right? But my problem is that your life has not become light. Darkness is not afraid of life. If not, Satan will not come close to Jesus. He came close to Jesus. How many times? He came after his baptism, followed him to the wilderness, stayed with life for 40 days. And then after a while, life shouted. And then darkness left for a season. Left for a season. For as long as this light is here, darkness cannot come. Stayed with light for 40 days. And then followed light to Gethsemane. In fact, darkness had the audacity to come and stay inside two disciples of life. And darkness was not afraid. Life was talking. And darkness looked at life and said, keep quiet. You will not die. Life. But when that life became light, Malebo Shatter, the Bible says that light shines in darkness. Darkness is still trying to understand the light. It is what you understand you can conquer. It is what you understand that you can conquer. Light shines in darkness, and the darkness is trying to study light. And for every time darkness thinks I've found the secret of light, light will come with another dimension that darkness will be chased away. You are rising in light from this meeting this morning. In the name of Jesus. Whatever God needs to orchestrate for you to encounter the light that will turn your life around, I command them to come your way in the name of Jesus. Light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. I was speaking to my people during our crossover, and then I told them something. Fear. Say fear. Fear is a reaction. All right? Being afraid, being terrified, fear of failure, fear of death, fear of what again, whatever they call it, is a reaction based on an information. So that means that you don't cast away fear by just saying, I cast away fear. You cast away fear by changing the information that sponsors it. There is something you can know about life that will make death ineffective. I give you an example. One of the greatest fears that people have right now, there are two major fears of people right now, especially young people. The fear of poverty and the fear of death. Some information are circulating over people doing money, doing rituals, killing people, kidnapping here and there. See, it's not everybody. It's not everybody. Have you not read in your Bible that as many as are joined to the living, there is hope? Joined to the living. That you can have an affiliation with a living, and that can immune you from the power of death. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that death has veto power over everybody? No. Read your Bible. Have you not read that I have placed before you life and death, and you can choose life? Abba. They give you a menu, isn't it? And they said there is fried rice, there is pounded yam. Choose one. You cannot choose pounded yam and they will give you rice. It is against your power of choice. If they wanted to give you rice, they would have brought it as the only option. So God himself said, I want you to have life and have it abundantly, but I cannot choose it for you. So I will place both of them before you, and I'm counseling you to choose life. And in the same place he told them to choose life, he also told them to choose success or failure. The problem is, you cannot remember any time you chose this. I'm not making a choice. Leave the person offering it to make a choice for you. Unfortunately, it is not God. I chose life, oh. He said, choose life that you and your sons may live. So when I chose life, I didn't choose it for myself alone. I chose it for everyone under my roof. Have you not read in the book of Revelation chapter 6? The Bible says that when the sixth angel, opened the seal, the angel said unto me, come and see. And I beheld a pale horse, and him that sat upon the horse, his name was Death, capital D. Is it there? Verse 6. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, okay, verse 7. Okay, let's take it from verse 5. I think I'm seeing something very interesting. If my time is almost up, please let me know. Look at verse 5. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. What did he see? And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. Now, wait, let me give you a background to this. Remember in chapter 5, he said there was a book that had seven seals. Nobody could open it. Now, what he's seeing now is there are mysteries in operation, but not within the reach of the average mind. The seal must be broken for you to see what happens at the background. And I'm about to show you one of the things happening in Nigeria. Now, look at it. He said, come and see. And I beheld and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hands. Now, a pair of balances in ancient time is a system of monetary equity, monetary justice, I mean, whatever. When you want to buy something, it's not now that you just give them 100 naira, they give you something. If you want to buy grain, they measure the grain and put it on one side of the balance, and then your talents of gold or whatever, you put it on the other side of the balance, and the equivalent of that money is what they will give you. Amen. So he's talking about an economic system here. Now, he said he showed me a pair of balances in his hand. Verse 6. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hot not the oil and the wine. This is the mystery behind inflation and economic crisis. It does not just happen. It's not just happening that, you know, people are saying in 20, this bag of rice was this, this was that. There are dramas happening in the realm of the spirit. And that drama is not supposed to be our interest. Because that drama only affects a certain percentage of people. You can choose to be there. You can choose to be on the other side. Because while there was darkness in Goshen, there was light. In Egypt, there was light in Goshen. You can either be in Egypt now, or you can be in Goshen. I chose where I wanted to be, and I know the difference. The Bible says that things were so bad in Egypt that they were collecting the lands and the properties of everybody just to give them bread. But the Bible says there was an exemption. Say there's an exemption. That the land of the king and the priest were not collected. Have you not read that he has made us unto our God, kings and priests? We have an exemption. Things can happen to ordinary people, but not Meshach Alpha. Verse 7. Or go back to verse 6. If you go to the book of Zechariah, don't turn there. The Bible says that Zechariah was shown a vision of an ephah. You've seen it before. And the NIV calls it a basket. An ephah is an ancient instrument. You know the way we have mudu, alright? So an ephah was an instrument for measuring grain. And I told you how they do it. You put the grain on one side and put this. Now, Zechariah said that he saw a woman inside the ephah. Alright? And he asked the angel, what is this? And the angel said, this is wickedness. That was inside the ephah. Now, that was not the end. He said they carried a lead lid, a lead cover, and placed it upon the ephah. Lead is known as the heaviest metal, or that's the heaviest thing on earth is lead, isn't it? So they carried lead and put it upon the ephah. So when they use that ephah to measure grain to you, it will weigh high, but that weight is coming from the wicked cover that they put on it. This is why your money does not have value anymore. Because there is a lead that they have placed upon the ephah. So verse 7. When he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. Verse 8. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death. Capital D. How many of you are in the medical related field here? When somebody is pale, what do you say? The person is on his way to dying, isn't it? But this horse is pale. So that tells you the ministry of the horse. The person sitting on the horse, his name was Capital D. Now please read the next line. And hell followed him, followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth part of the earth. to kill with violence, to kill with poverty, to kill. Can somebody read it for me? Is there now? To kill with violence, sword. To kill with poverty, hunger. To kill with death. So that means the death you know is a tool in the hand of a spirit called death. And with the beast of the earth. You remember towards the end of last year, there was a story going around about an Air Force person that was bitten by a snake. You remember? From the WC. Suddenly, people became afraid. If you go to toilet, you check very well to see whether there is a snake. There is no snake anyway. That thing was sent from the pit of hell because to create an imagination, and whatever finds its way into your imagination will become real. I thought I had the whole night. So let me try and round up. To kill with these things. Why I brought you here is that the Bible says power was given to them. Power was not given to them over the whole earth. Power was given to them over one quarter of the earth. So that means there is a three quarter of the earth that they don't have power over. You can choose to be in the one quarter. You can choose to be in the three quarter. Jesus, the owner of the earth, said, "Behold, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. I will not force myself to come in until you open the door. If God can knock, Satan should knock also. If the owner of my life can knock, what makes you think that Satan can break the door and come in? If he ever came in, you opened it. He is not that powerful. I'm giving you light this morning. Death does not just kill people. Every man that dies by choice. The problem is whether the choice is conscious or subconscious. But when you are full of light, even in your subconscious, you still choose life. Because the times that the options will be placed before you many times will not be in your consciousness. Many times it will be in your subconscious. At that time, the books you have read may not be able to help you. It is the light that have come from that book and have sank into your subconscious. So in your sleep, you are stretching and the light is coming out because you are full of light. Let your eyes be full of light. How did Jesus put it? Alright? He said the eye is the light of the body. Therefore, let your eyes be full of light. He said, but be careful so that your light not be that be not darkness. For how great, eh? So that means you can have a light that will be darkness. What are you afraid of? What sponsors your confidence in this life? Listen to me. Promotion is coming to the church. But the promotion will not come in the way that you think. God has only one way of promoting people. He promotes them by their scars. He promotes them by the things they have suffered. It has always been the pattern of God. He humbled himself and suffered the death of the cross. And after that, God has highly exalted him and has given him a name that is above every other name. I want to give somebody a message of hope this morning. I don't know what you are going through. Listen to me. The Bible says in the great house, there are not only vessels of gold and vessels of silver. There are also vessels of clay and vessels of wood. He said, if any man purge himself of these things, he will be a vessel unto honor, fit for the master's use. You know, if you are a wood and fire comes close to you, They protect you by taking you away from the fire. But if you are gold and fire comes close to you, God will tell them to increase the fire. It is not a sign of lack of faith. Fire is what a gold needs to increase in value. You are not wood. God has been protecting you for a long time when you were at the level of wood. Suddenly you discover that He's no longer protecting you. And you feel that your faith is failing. You feel that God is no longer faithful. His faithfulness has increased. Your season of promotion has come. Many times God wants to lift us. And then the fire comes to try us. So that we can come out on the other side of the fire pure as gold. But you begin to cry and you blackmail God until He takes you away from the fire. You come to church and share testimony of deliverance. Little do you know that you are delaying your promotion. You call being taken away from the fire deliverance. Little do you know that you forced God to truncate your process of promotion. The unfortunate thing is that when God wants to promote you again, He will not continue from where He stopped. You will start from class one. But when you pass through the fire, you can say like Jesus, "The prince of this world cometh, but He finds nothing of Himself in me." Because everything that belongs to Him, called dross, have been burnt in the fire. Anything that survives the fire is of God. Anything that survives the fire is of God. So if it is not of God, the fire will burn it. So when you come out on the other side of the fire, you will have patches and evidences of the gods. But those patches and evidences are the designation of your rank. You don't become a general by praying in tongues. You become a general by passing through the fire. And then you come out alive believing the same thing you have believed. Then you can say, "The prince of this world cometh. He finds nothing of Himself in me." Like Paul, he said, "Henceforth, let no man trouble me. For I bear in my body, check my shoulder. You will see the evidence of my travail. I am not an apostle just by title. I am not an apostle just by praying. Check my scars. I've been wounded for Jesus. I've been scarred for Jesus. I can confront the mountain not just by faith, but by the things I have suffered." Did you not see in your Bible? I talked about Mary. The very first thing the angel told Mary is that you are highly favored. The moment that favor came upon that woman, it was trouble till she left the earth. She was favored. Favor almost scattered her relationship. Favor almost made her lose the trust of her fiance. She almost lost her marriage because of favor. She became an object of controversy because of favor. Because of favor. She watched her 33-year-old son crucified naked upon the cross. She died in grief because God favored her. Whoever told you that favor is only Rolls Royce? Do you know that Joseph died in that controversy? It is only in heaven that Joseph would have been vindicated. There are people who died believing that Joseph impregnated his wife. Because God didn't explain to anybody. Some things happened to my life between 2019 and 2020. I was so disturbed. And then at a point I said, "God, but you know I'm innocent of this thing. Why not explain to people? Let me... God told me I didn't call you to be a minister of defense. I called you to be a minister of the gospel, not of defense." What trouble has favor brought in your life? It is still favor. Favor shut the womb of a woman called Hannah. Favor left Elizabeth barren with reproach simply because God had ordained her to carry the one that will forerun the Christ. And if John must forerun the Christ, then he must be born within the same age range with the Christ. So the womb that will bring forth John, even though the womb was ready, God had to lock it until he was ready. The son that opened the womb belongs to God. So the moment Hannah was chosen to give birth to the prophet, God had to wait until the cup of Eli's sons were full. And then when he's now ready, he now opened the womb. Now give me my Samuel, then you can have your children. It's still called favor. But yet, if you are in the level of the light of the moon, you'll be crying. Why am I barren? Why am I this? See my mates, they have this, they have that. But at the level of the sun, you will not even notice it. But the good news is, there is the Holy Spirit that has been given to you to help your infirmity. Because the Bible says that we know not what to pray for as we ought. It is the natural reaction of every man to pray for deliverance when fire comes. But it is unnatural for the Holy Spirit, when he sees the fire that you should be delivered from, he will deliver you. But when he sees the fire that you must go through, while you are saying, Lord, deliver me, the Holy Spirit is saying, Lord, allow him go through. Let me give you a secret. One of the reasons for the trouble in your life is that you have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came to cause trouble. Should I tell you the trouble? When you pray, he is also praying. The Bible says he makes intercession. To make intercession means praying on behalf of another person. So while you are saying, Lord, deliver me, the deliverance will come if that is what the Holy Spirit is also praying. If the Holy Spirit is praying against the deliverance, you will remain in that thing. You will remain in that thing. You are asking, Lord, let them wave this carryover. And the Holy Spirit is saying, no, Lord, don't wave the carryover. Because if you wave the carryover, she will graduate. But next year, desperate worshippers will bring Pastor Alpha. And there is a grace upon Pastor Alpha that he will need to carry to NYC. The only way I can make him stay is with this carryover. So let them not wave it so that he can stay. Is the reason why you are here tonight. So the Holy Spirit is praying. And you know what Paul said? He said, we know that all things, good or bad, work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. The reason for their trouble is their love for God and their calling according to his purpose. But it's a good trouble because it will work for your good. For every time God allows you to go through trouble, a promotion is coming. When he took Job through that trouble, Satan regretted giving Job that trouble. Because Satan was threatened by the prosperity of Job. But after the trouble, the prosperity was multiplied by two. See, Satan till tomorrow is a servant of God. It's just that his work cannot be done by a faithful angel. So it will look like trouble, but he's lifting you. It looks like trouble, but the promotion is coming for you. I don't know what you have gone through. I don't know the challenges. We started from the prophecy that God gave. You can now see why God is telling you, arise, shine, for your light is come. Rise on your feet and begin to talk to God this morning. Malabrado sante kapa. Imole deo. Okuku parada. Imole deo. Okuku parada. Imole deo. Okuku parada. Imole deo. Okuku parada. Imole deo. Imole deo. Imole deo. Okuku parada. Imole deo. Imole deo. To place your hands upon your eyes and just pray in tongues for the next few minutes. Something is about to happen to you. Just place your hands upon your eyes and pray in the spirit. The eye is the light of the body. There is a light that is about to rest on you. Light, 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 light. Light, light, light. Light. Shala brande kosita pala handazia. Lem brotosikato. Just pray a little more. I'm seeing flashes of light. Flashes of light. Flashes of light. The Lord is activating sight. Sight in the spirit. Sight in the spirit. Just keep pressing. Sight in the spirit. Mala Pradosa. I'm seeing beams of light. Flashes of light. Flashes of light. Mala brantaka paladosa. Jende prekete zonto prakatosa tekapaya. Laga pragada laga pagada yana lagada. Lando broto sekete shakapala. Langa prakata gata gata. Light, 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 light. Light, 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 light. I was among the captives by the river Kebar, and I saw the heavens open, and I saw the visions of God. The heaven is about to be opened unto someone. Somebody is about to be caught up in visionary encounters. Eyes have been opened. Eyes have been opened. Eyes have been opened. Lante proto sikata. There are about seven of you. Maku pratesa keta. The prophetic power of sight is being released unto you. Activations of visions. Maka prato sante kata. Seven of you. Where are they, Lord? I stretch my hands to you in the name of Jesus. Ephrata, be open. Mante protosikapa. Don't be tired. He's opening your eyes. He's opening your eyes to see the mysteries of God. He said there are some of you standing here that will not see death until you see the Son of Man in His glory. Visionary encounters. Seven of you. Seven of you. And Philip joined himself to the Ethiopian eunuch. And then he said to him, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I understand unless a man shows me?" Some of you are ardent students of the Bible. You love the word of God. But you are wondering, how are people getting this light from the word? How are people getting this light from the word? So the Holy Ghost will come upon you. The power of the highest shall overshadow you. Even to understand the Bible, you need the Holy Spirit. He's called the Spirit of Revelation. The Spirit of Revelation. And it shall rest upon him, the Spirit of the Lord, of knowledge and understanding, of counsel and might. No, of wisdom and understanding, of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Knowledge, wisdom, understanding comes by the Spirit. And He opened their understanding to understand scriptures. Mala Brando Sikata. Lift your hands above your head. I want to pray for you. Just close your eyes. Keep your hands lifted. And remain like that. The days to come are days that you cannot afford not to receive the instructions of God. The anchor scripture for this meeting in Matthew chapter 4. The Bible says when Jesus heard that John had been imprisoned, he departed into the region of Galilee, to the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled that which was written by the prophet Isaiah. The people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. Jesus went to that region because of fear. His cousin had been arrested, so he left that place. It looked like he was running for safety, but it was the hand of God compelling him into prophecy. We are limited by our understanding. Many of us don't have a problem with obedience. We have a problem with knowing what God wants us to do. But I've come to a point, I said, "Lord, don't leave me at the mercy of my obedience to your instruction. Because I may never even recognize it as instruction. Can you hold my hand and drag me into your will?" Victor, what's that song? Guide me into the secret place. What's the song again? Please help me. Thank you. Thank you. Maya. Shala branda kapala do sante bata la kapa. Libra do sante kapala kapa handazia. Pala brando suka pala handazia. One more time.
Hide me
My desire is to know you more. My desire is to know you more. Hide me. He said, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. But he also said, I will guide you with my eyes. I love the instructions of God, but I love his guidance better. Please come, drop the mic and come. It is possible for me to fail when I have to hear the instruction of God and obey, because my will is involved. But when I hand over my will to God and I say, Lord, you can instruct me, but hold my hand. Like Jeremiah in chapter 10 and verse 23. He said, oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own step. I know my limitations. And I'm telling the Lord, hold my hands and guide me into the place you want me to go. And God said, you want me to guide you? I said, yes. Then he holds my hand. I said, let's go. Let's go. And I'm following. He takes a turn that I don't understand. I'm asking questions. But he said, just follow me. I know where I want you to go. He takes me through the valley of the shadow of death. It looks like I'm going to fall. It looks like the devil will eat me raw. But the Lord is holding my right hand. And I shall not fall. He is my shield and my exceeding great reward. I am walking with him. Only for me to discover that I found myself in destiny. I found myself in destiny. Because this is what I want God to do for you this night. As you are standing there, can you hand over the control of your life to him? There are pathways in 2022 that is not within the perception of men. Say, there is a path that the feet of the lion has not treaded. The eyes of the falcon has not seen. But these are the ancient paths that God is navigating us through. Would you allow him to hold your hands? I know the way of the Philistines is shorter, but he has chosen to take you through the wilderness. And that wilderness is taking forever. But one thing is sure, if you don't doubt him, he will take you to the land of promise. Can you surrender to him? I want to pray for you and drop this mic. In the name of Jesus. Two more things that I'll be out of here. The Lord brought me here to do three things. The first was the prophetic word we declared. The second was the teaching I did. And the third is that he will release giftings to people. Some of them he has put upon my life. Others are possible gifts that I don't walk in. But by privilege of the apostolic grace, you can coordinate them from where they are and then let it rest upon the people that must carry them. Are you ready for the impartation right now? The first thing that God is going to give you, there are activations of prophetic dimensions. Utterance and sight. Prophetic dimensions. Strange insight into the word of God. Not searching for Rema to dazzle people. No, that's not what I'm saying. More than 70% of the prophetic word that Bishop Oyedepo has received are not from dramatic encounters. He said, I was studying the Bible on so and so day. And the Lord said to me. And then you are saying, but this thing is just passage of scripture. It's passage of scripture to you. But it's prophecy that has produced results. It will remain passage of scripture to you until an anointing comes upon you that can breathe upon the word. You don't just read the Bible and receive. You can read it from Genesis to Revelation and still be the same. But there are people that have read just one verse and their life has not remained the same because of one verse. Are you ready to receive that anointing? I don't have time for many things. That's why I'm just mentioning all of them. In the season that we are in, it is suicidal for you to be spiritually blind. It's not only prophets that must see. Everybody, God is activating strange dimension of revelatory gifts, visionary gifts, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, prophecy, tongues and interpretations. Then the power dimensions of the gift. Healing, faith, working of miracles, and diverse dimensions of the operations of the spirit that was not being captured. God is bringing us to a time, is a season of warfare. Everybody is being enlisted into this army. I was told that during the Nigerian Civil War, even people that were not trained in the army were being dragged into the army for them to fight, because the trained men were few for the war that confronted them. In Israel today, when you turn 18, you will undergo military training and be on standby in case they will need your service. We are in that period, and God is enlisting feeble men into this army and is equipping them with divine giftings. They are the things I mentioned. He will start with the prophetic gift. Activation of sight. The eye of the eagle. The eye of the eagle. The eye of the eagle. Receive as I'm mentioning it. The people that this thing is meant for. It will come upon you. You cannot stand it. The eye of the eagle. The eye of the eagle. The eye of the eagle. Receive it now. I activate it. Let your eyes be open. See the visions of God. Please help someone close to you. I'm seeing strange activities of the spirit touching people, anointing people with eye salve, opening the eyes of men to see the realities of the spirit. No more blindness. Please help them. I'm seeing activities of the spirit around the middle row. Activities of the spirit around the middle row. I'm seeing angels moving from row to row, touching the eyes of people. The eye of the eagle. The eye of the eagle. The eye of the eagle. Manta Prakatakata. The eye of the eagle. I activate discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirit. Discerning of spirit. I activate the wisdom of the spirit upon you. The grace for witty inventions. In the name of Jesus. Can you bring them close for me? My dear, please tell this lady to come and hold my hand. Yes, come. I'm seeing a light leaving me and resting upon you. Hold my hand. There is a grace upon my life that is resting upon you. Until I, Deborah, arose, a prophet in Israel, a mother in Israel. Until I, Deborah, arose, a mother in Israel. You are the salvation that your family has been waiting for. You are the exemption from the anomalies of your father's house. It has destroyed others, but you will destroy that which has destroyed many in your family. I put an anointing upon you. You will show up and darkness will disappear. Man, death, break a tape. Sing about. What I'm saying to this lady, the Lord is saying to this young man, I'm seeing like a sword living here to the center of your father's house right now. There is a demonic trunk of a tree in your father's house that symbolizes the host of darkness, and the power of God is destroying it right now, paving way for breakthrough for your family members. I release you into that breakthrough. Take it now in the name of Jesus. Mante Prato Santa Capaya.
Hide me in your secret place. Hide me in your secret place. My desire is to know you more. My desire is to know.
There are people hearing my voice. You know, you are going through some processes. And Satan is telling you that it is God initiating that process. Some limitations orchestrated by demonic spirits that have held you bound. But it is not of God. It's not that God is taking you through process. This one is demonic oppression. Limitations of ancestry. Foundational captivities that have held some people bound. But the Lord is asking me to break it now. Lift your hand above your head. I declare that every of such entanglement be broken now in the name of Jesus. Anybody under the influence of ancestral limitations, anybody under the influence of foundational captivity, by the blood of the eternal covenant, I set you free now. In the name of Jesus. Strange demonic spirits visiting you in your dream in the night. At the point of breakthrough, that demonic entity comes to molest you sexually. I set you free now. In the name of Jesus. Shout Jesus three times. One. You are free. You are free. You are free. Never to be bound again. Listen to me. This one is coming very strongly. There are people under the torment of suicidal thoughts. The spirit of death is hovering around you. You are afraid to be alone because you think you may just close your eyes and you will not wake up. Is there anybody like that here? Because this is what the Lord is telling me. please run to me in the front here. If you are like that, run to me in the front. Hide me in your secret place. Hide me. Listen. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Said, a thousand shall fall at your side, 10,000 by your right side, but it shall not come near you. All of you in front here, look at me. Yes. That demonic spirit of death, fear of death, leaves you right now. Out of her! Let her go. The same thing happening to you has been tormenting your mother. Tormenting your mother for years. But the Lord is bringing deliverance to you and your family. Right now, that spirit of death, that appointment with death is canceled in the name of Jesus. Let her go. Yes. Let her go. Let her go. Let her go. Now. Let her go. Let her go. Let her go. In the name of Jesus. Right now. Mala Brando Sikapa. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Bible says because the children were flesh and blood, he partook of their flesh and blood that he might destroy him that had the power of death, which is the devil, to deliver them who all their lives have been subject to bondage, to the spirit, to the fear of death. Right now, that bondage is broken. That bondage is broken in the name of Jesus. Can you help me with the mic, please? Can the mic? Jump up with the mic so I can lay hands on them. Mala Brando Sikapa. My dear, you shall not die but live. You will declare the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'm bringing the word of the Lord to you. You shall not die but live. Open your eyes and look at me. Try to look at me. I know it's difficult. Look at me. Light is leaving my eyes to you. There is a light that sustains me. That light is coming upon you right now. You will not die. Where are your parents? They're in Abuja. You won't lose your parents. They have told you you become an orphan. They've been telling you that, isn't it? You hear a voice, not in dream, physically. That voice is speaking to you that your parents are going to die almost at the same time and that you will become an orphan. Then it begins to play stories of people that lost their parents and their lives were destroyed. And you are asking yourself, will my life become like this? See, you met an anointing tonight. And it has destroyed every yoke of darkness. I don't care what gave the legal ground to this operation of Satan. But the mercy of God has brought you face to face with God. You are free. Your parents are free. They shall not die. I put the seal of exemption upon them. In the name of Jesus. Let them go. I saw the spirit leave. No more fear. No more fear. No more fear. Say after me in the name of Jesus. I belong to Jesus. Therefore, his life is at work in my life. I shall not die, but live. Today, I choose life. And I choose it on behalf of my family. In the name of Jesus. You will watch God turn your life around. See, the Lord is going to trust you with great virtues.
He's going to trust you with great resources. Pay attention to the disciplines of the Spirit. He's taking you through transitions. There are lessons, opportunities that will come your way. They may not look like it. Pay attention to the lessons God is bringing to you, because the days ahead of you are glorious, in the name of Jesus. I may not have time to speak to everybody, but what he says to one, he says to all. That devil leaves you now. Let her go. Now, in the name of Jesus. Let her go. Let her go. Let her go. Let her go. Listen to me. There is no fellowship between life and death. There is no communion between light and darkness. Those dead members of your family that come to see you, inviting you to join them, they are demonic spirits using the face of your loved ones. You will not join them. You are joined to the living. You will live your days in full, in the name of Jesus. Does it make sense to you? You're always seeing dead people, and they are inviting you to come and join them. No, you won't join them. Your days have been determined by God, and you will live it in full. I release you from the power of the fear of death. I cast out that fear right now, in the name of Jesus. I declare that the Lord brings light into your life, that will give you dominion over this fear, in the name of Jesus. Let him go. There's someone with a pain around the region of your heart. It's not just your heart inside, but you feel it physically. As I'm talking right now, the right side of your chest, where your heart is, there is a pain that comes as if it's an enlargement that comes on the right side of your heart. You have not gone to the hospital. You don't even know what it is, but you feel this. Are you the one? In the name of Jesus, it is gone. The Lord says, I should lay hands on you. You are free. I command that devil of darkness to leave you now. Let her go. That demonic spirit from the pit of hell leaves you right now, in the name of Jesus. Check yourself, it's gone. Madam, death is a choice. Did you hear me when I was teaching? Death is a choice. I want you to choose life today. Choose life. Choose life. He made the first man a living soul. But Jesus, a life-giving spirit. And we have come in his name as an extension of his hand. So I give you life. Do you see what is happening to this woman? Now at the count of three, I command you to leave her completely and never come back. One, two, three. Go now! There's fire all over this woman. Fire, deep fire. Deep fire. And it's burning everything that was not planted by God. That asthmatic spirit is gone. The Lord is asking me to pray for asthmatic patients. Asthmatic patients, people that have challenge with asthma. Where are they? Okay, there is one there. Where is the person? Please bring them. It's you. Look at me. When they told me my mom was diagnosed with asthma and she eventually died, I entered a personal battle. Me and asthma became arch enemy. I can pamper any other thing, but asthma, wherever I see it, it must go. Look at me. Hold my hand. I hope you know that asthma is a spirit. That is why it attacks the breathing system of the man. You know what is happening to you? You know the way blood trans... Hold my hand. Don't remove your hand. I know that it's hot for you, but just hold it. It's like blood transfusion. This one is not blood. It's power transfusion. The power of God is flowing through my hand to her. Just hold it. And it's killing every deposit of this demonic spirit. She's trying to remove her hand. But just try. It's not you removing it. They must go. Just leave my hand, don't worry. They must go. It must go. Completely, your deliverance is complete. It's not partial, it's complete. It's complete. Yeah. You are wondering what is the connection with your right leg. That is as if life is leaving your leg. No, life is not leaving your leg. It's power that is coming into you, such that your body can't carry you. The power of God, like a searchlight, is going round and it's killing everything. Suddenly you are feeling as if needle is piercing your body. As if somebody is piercing you with needle. No, it's not needle, it's the power of God. It's tracing everything that is dead and it's taking them out of your life. Anything that God has not planted is a surgical procedure that is going on. And when it's done, I will leave your hand. Just be a little patient. Yeah. 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 Yes. 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 Now the Lord is saying I should count 1 to 7 and he'll be done. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Now be free. It's done in the name of Jesus. What is your case? It came back. This time, it goes never to come back. Look at me. Just look at me straight in the eyes. Whatever your name is called, asthma, if you have a name, you have a knee to bow. I command you to leave this lady and never to come back. Now. Now, go! Yeah, that is it. This is it. That's the power of God. 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 Let her go in the name of Jesus. What's the case? Asthma?
It's under power.
Yeah. It's under power. Okay. Wow. God has found a vessel. Yeah. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Can you see he's moving my hand? Because there's something God is dealing with here. Jesus, 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 Jesus. I set you free and I set you apart for the Lord. I set you on fire for his glory. In the name of Jesus, I activate in you a deep hunger that you will not recover from. A deep hunger and thirst for the Lord that you will not recover from. In the name of Jesus. Asthma. Okay. Okay, where are the asthma? This is asthma. Huh? For your father. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Something is going to happen to you, all right? Look at me. You know, I walk in signs and wonders. The Lord is going to touch you, okay? But as he's touching you, he's touching your father where he is. But he's doing that as a sign for you. The same thing that will be happening to you, call him in the morning and ask him. The same thing that will be happening to you will be happening to him. And that will be the end of asthma. Hold my hand. Jesus. Just let him come, please. command healing upon your father in the name of Jesus. Asthma, right? For you. For how long has it been? Then there's cold. Listen, the weather was made for man and not man for the weather. Alright? The weather. God created all things for man, not man to be subject to creation. You're born again, you have been delivered from the bondage to the corruption that is in creation. Alright? So I pray for you. There's still cold, so you will see that it will not happen again. In the name of Jesus. Apart from the asthma, your pace has been slow in life. Am I correct? It's been quite slow. You are making progress, but the pace is slow. There are so much struggles to get anything done. Does it make sense to you what I'm saying? God wants to give you speed. Because you can't get to your destination at this pace. Listen to me. What God is going to do in your life is a restoration. You know what restoration is? He will carry you from where you are and place you where you ought to have been. Have you not heard that the Lord can restore years? He can compress time forever. Restoration is coming to you in a few days from now. Prepare for it. Believe it. All right? As I laid my hands on you, that was what the Lord showed me. Lord, in the name of Jesus, heal her of asthma and bring her complete restoration. You reveal it so that you can change. In the name of Jesus, I bring speed to the life of this lady. Whatever has been responsible for... You know why this lady is shouting? Because what I'm prophesying to this lady is the same thing with her case. That is why she's responding to this. Because this matter of slow pace, the pace of a snail, is also her case. And in the same vein, anybody that is under the same predicament, as I'm speaking to one person, the same power of God will come upon you and will begin to activate speed in your life in the name of Jesus. Activation of speed. Whatever has held your feet back, that you are crawling where you should be walking, that you are walking where you should be flying, in the name of Jesus, I break that limitation and I command speed in your life. Speed, 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 speed. I declare restoration. Restoration of time. Restoration of years. Restoration of resources. In the name of Jesus. Please help them. There are several people. Speed. I break the yoke of stagnation. I break the yoke of stagnation. I break the yoke of stagnation. In the name of Jesus. Mande brato santa kapaya. Jagabande kato zante kete. Jagabagadoza. Manta brato zante kata. There are people hearing my voice. Literally, it's like somebody has tied a rope to your leg. When you begin to move and you're about to reach a height, they'll pull it back. You will fall down. You will see your breakthrough, but you never get into it. I break that limitation now. I cut that demonic rope now. Be free. Move forward in the name of Jesus. Move forward. Move forward. As I'm talking to you, I'm seeing a spirit leave your chest. It's leaving you right now. You feel something leaving. As if they took something from your chest around the middle part and then they took it out of you. That is the demonic spirit responsible for asthma. Is gone and never to come back. In the name of Jesus, you're free. Go and do well. I cancel the appointment with death. Every manifestation of the spirit of death around and about you, I command it to leave now. Let her go. I cast out that demonic spirit of fear from you. You shall live and not die. In the name of Jesus. I don't know what your case is, but I bring you the power of God. You are free in the name of Jesus. The power of God comes upon you and gives you total wholeness. In the name of Jesus, what is the case? In the name of Jesus, I bring deliverance to your family right now. You devil of asthma, let them go. Now in the name of Jesus, the power of God comes upon you and upon your family. You are free in the name of Jesus. Okay, that's all. Don't worry, she's fine. Mahala Brando Shikapa. You know, I'm just touching one or two people, just a sample to help your faith. God is doing much more than you are seeing. You know, if you understand the ways of God, it's not the people jumping that are the only people under the power of God. Many things are happening. Just be alert. Let your heart be tuned to God. Raise her up. You know, I told you that light has never argued with darkness. All that light needs to do is to show up. You know what is happening here? The darkness cannot stand this light. You get? The darkness cannot stand this light. You know what to do. Pack your things and leave now. Everything you have destroyed, fix them. And every demonic deposit you brought, go with them. At the count of three, you are gone. One, two, three. That's all. You're free. Move forward. Do well. In Jesus' name. Where are you from? Huh? You're from Plateau State. Which part of Plateau State? Huh? Hold my hand. You're afraid of dying, ba? Are you born again? Let me tell you what that means. It means that you have died. Did you hear what I said? You have what? Okay. And the Bible says, there's a reason why I'm explaining this. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die. So you have died. I'm saying it again so that you can see it before I pray for you. You have died. You will not die again. Now somebody is asking me, is she going to live forever? We don't die. We sleep when it's time. Did you hear what I said? Believers don't die. When you are done, we go. You know, when I heard the story of how T.L. Osborne died, I said, Lord, this is how I want to die. He called his children, gave them instructions, and then asked them if they had any question. Then they said they didn't have question again. He looked up and said, Lord, take me home. Do you call that one death? How can somebody tell God to take him home? Do you know how Jesus died? Jesus would have hung on that cross till forever. Bible says he gave up. He said, no man can take my life away from me. I have the power to lay it down and to pick it up again. And he gave us that power. No death should oppress us and makes us think that it has power to take us. No. I will go when I want to go. I will go when it's time. I don't plan to spend a second more when I am done. But before I am done, no death can take me. Death? Say, Pastor, be careful. You don't know what is happening. I don't know. Have you not seen that if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature? All things are passed away. All things have become new. Have you not heard that we have passed from death unto life? If it is literature to you, it is life to me. As many as received him, he gave them power. Say, what of the believers that died? What of the believers that died? It's my reality, I'm telling you. You can choose what to believe. My dear, you have passed from death unto life. No death will take you. I know that there are foundational things that are haunting people from your family. You have seen patterns, and then you are afraid that that pattern will happen with you. Am I correct? The reason you are afraid is because of the patterns you have noticed. But listen to me. You have met the power of God tonight, and it has cut your journey of death short. Your journey of death has been interrupted. In the name of Jesus, from today, the journey of life begins with you. From today, the journey of life begins with you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. If you can get my book, Altars and Foundations, fortunately, I don't have copies. You read it and then you will go back to that, your house. And you will call the demons of the clan to come. They will not come. Because they will know that you have come with light. We battle by light. You are free. In the name of Jesus. You are free. In Jesus' name. Is that all? Is there still anybody? I pray for you now. Yes. You want me to pray for you? Hey. Please, you should forgive me. My time is really overshot. There are two people in this place that the Lord is telling me that there is a grace upon my life that they need for their journey. God has been talking to you about this. You have had visitations and encounters that point you to this grace. And when you were coming here, God said there is a grace upon me that will rest upon you. Just two of you. There are two. Is it me? There are two people. Two people. Two people. Just like he did with Moses. He would think of the things upon my life. One of them, I may not know of many. There are two gifts I know that is upon my life. One is the spirit of faith. The second one is the grace for utterance and revelation. And the Lord says that there are people here that is giving them those things. I don't know you, but the Lord will single you out. Please, ushers, when you find them, bring them for me. In the name of the Lord Jesus, where are the two people? Male Brantosuka Palatoska Bantekata Jaka Prakota Sikapa. It will come upon you with a heavy power of God. I command in the name of Jesus that anointing, the grace for faith, the grace for utterance and revelation that the Lord has freely given me, I release it freely to you now. Take it in the name of Jesus. Yes, that's the second person. Bring the person for me. Librato Santa Capa and the Lacapa. Leboto Sicapa. When that grace comes upon you, you can believe God for anything. When you finish believing, even you, it will not make sense to you. Mala Brando Sicatosh Kala Brandasia. Libroto Sapakataya. Bandekosa. Zante Bradagataya. Such as I have, I give unto you. Jaka Pakata. Where is that person? Bring the person for me. Lempeto suka po shata. You are the wisdom before time began. The Spirit of God is stirring the water in your belly. It's causing the waters to boil. There is a stirring. 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 And it will burst forth in a new tongue. At the count of three, take it. One, two, three. Take it now. Brande kapala kapakataya. Like a bolster, such as I have, I give unto you. Mante protosikatoska. Shika palaka paka pakatara. Help him, please. Take it. Manta protosa da palaka pakataya. Lim protosa te kapa. Lando. Zeko shata palaka pakataya. My dear, hold my hand. The Lord showed me. The Lord showed me that you have been having visionary encounters with some matriarchs of faith. You see them come in your dreams. They talk to you. Sometimes you don't even remember what they say unto you. And many times you wake up disturbed because you want to write down the things they teach you. They come and sit by your bed and they are giving you instructions. You've seen Katrin Kuhlman. You've seen Amy Semple McPherson. Some of them you don't even know their name. But you know that there are people with great anointings that have walked upon the earth that are coming to visit you. Sometimes you remember what they say. Other times you don't remember. And the Lord is saying that there are impartations that have come upon you on account of those encounters. That whether you remember what they said or not, a transference has happened. And in the days to come, you begin to walk in the dimensions of the mantles that these women walked in. I activate them now in the name of Jesus. And she's not the only person. There are about seven of you that this has happened to. About seven of you. You have had these encounters. Makapranto sukata. Jekete pratosa. Makatalaka pakataya. I command the steering of the spirit right now. Set it up now in the name of Jesus. Shikapala padagadalaga bo sadabalagataya. Say take a sekate. Shaka pakatalagapa. Lanto pratu sakepa. Lem proto sekate. Shaka pante kosikata. Lim pratosa. Pratekota kapalagataya dalagada. In the name of Jesus. There is a young man here. Listen to me. There is a young man here. You've been having encounters with a bald-headed man. Very old. He comes to you. He talks to you about prayers and intercession. And you're wondering, who is this man? And the Lord is telling me to tell you that Elijah the Tishbite has been visiting you. And activations of a straight dimension of the prophetic intercession has been birthed. Where is that young man? I call it forth now. Now, Bala Pakataya Dalagabra. Now, in the name of Jesus. Now, Shaka Pande Kokoko Palakataya. Lete Prekete Zubulakapaya Dalagada. There is a rise of watchmen in this country, prophetic watchmen. Keepers of the gate, Makupalata, Zinkatosa, Mala Brandekosikata. Please forgive me, I really want to round up. Shikabalagapagataya. As I'm talking about the grace for intercession, you know, every time what God wants to talk about the prophetic, He used the portrait of Elijah. But there is another strange prophetic portrait called Anna the prophetess. She was not known. Not much was known about her. The summary of her life was written in few verses. There are people at the background. But without her, Jesus will not be born. And without her grace, Jesus will not manifest in the earth. And that grace is seeking expression right now. Right now. Right now, right now, right now, right now, right now, right now. Where are they? Where are they? Where are they? I call you by an apostolic voice. I summon you to the assembly of intercessors. Mante protosikata. Arise, all intercessors. Arise, men and women of prayers. Arise, watchmen. Mala Brando Zikataka Paya Gata Lakata. Zente Proto Zikapa Lakapaya. Where are they? There are about 12 people I saw. Where are they? Lo, the shepherd in Zion. Sound the alarm upon my holy mount. I stand as a servant of God. And I blow the shofar of the Spirit. And as I sound this shofar, if it is for you, you will discern the tune. Mante protosika palata, zeke protosikata. Is an apostolic summon tonight. Mante brekete sutapala handazia. Where are you from? Come. Look at me.